Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we are at the end. We are completing Shmuel Aleph, and I really want to congratulate everybody who's been here, who's been hanging on and learning this all the way through. This has been just over 6 weeks and we are now completing Shmuel Aleph. It is an incredible achievement. Everybody who has been part of this, if you're listening to this, take an extra muffin today, take an extra celebratory siyum this morning for this incredible achievement. We're looking forward to charging on into Shmuel Beis. This last perek is a one which is actually quite a difficult one to read. It's short, only 13 psukim, but it is a very difficult one for a number of reasons. We now charge straight into the last battle. And the last battle is the Philistines are now attacking the Israelites, as we know, and as was predicted, they start losing. They lose many, many people, many soldiers. And in fact, the Tanakh tells us that the children of Shaul, the three sons of Shaul, are killed. Yonatan, Avinadav, and Malkishua are killed. And what happens is, as the war effort is worsening on the Israelite side, the snipers, these are the marksmen, the bowmen, find the target of Shaul, and Shaul knows it's the end. So he says to his arms bearer, he says, "You have to kill me. I can't be killed by these Arelim, by these uncircumcised Philistines." And his Nose Kalov, his arms bearer, did not want to do this because he's scared. He was scared. So Shaul himself took his own sword and fell on his sword, killing himself. We're going to see it's not so simple, actually, what actually happened when we start Shmuel Beis. And his arms bearer, upon seeing this, also kills himself. And the Tanakh goes out to emphasize that Shaul and his three children died on that same day together. And in the meantime, while this is happening, when Israel realizes they've lost so many of their own and they've lost Shaul, all the border towns of Israel flee from the Philistines in fear, and they are occupied by the Philistines. So this is a devastating loss, not only in terms of the quality of the people who have been lost, but also in terms of just the quantity of loss and of territory which ensues after Shaul's untimely death. When they're stripping the battlefield, the Philistines find the body of Shaul and his children, and they decapitate him, they remove his head, and they hang him up outside. They take his clothes and they bring them to and all his accoutrements, and they bring it to show all the rest of the people, so as a war trophy, and they hang his body on the wall of Beit Shan. In the meantime, what happens is that the people of Yavesh Gilad hear about this, and they sneak through the entire night. And they, in a covert operation, they sneak to the walls of Beit Shan. Remember, this is enemy territory. And they remove the body of Shaul, and they burn the clothes and bury him in Yavesh Gilad, in Gilad. And they fast for him for 7 days. And that is the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. There's a lot of things to think about when considering this perek. So first of all is that ultimately Shaul HaMelech dies by committing suicide. That's what we're told. And we have to think to ourselves, in retrospect, was Shaul allowed to do this? Was Shaul allowed to do this or not? Was he condoned? Was this all right? Was this an exception? Not so simple. This is a large debate throughout the Mephoroshim, throughout all of history. One of the places to start looking about this is a Adasa Zakenim, which is one of the Balei HaToisois, who has a Pirush on the Torah in Bereishis Perek Tes Pasuk Hey. The Pasuk says, "V'ach dimchem es dimchem l'nashra seichem edroish." Hashem says, "I'm going to search out your blood," meaning to say you don't have the right to take your lives, and certainly not your own. And the Dias Zakenim says, why does the Pasuk say, "Ach, but the blood I will search out from you"? But usually means to say there's an exclusion. So the Medrash Rabba says, "Ach" comes to exclude Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are three people who, in defiance of Nebuchadnezzar, not bowing down to an idol, were thrown into the kiln. Thereby, ultimately, essentially, by their defiance, they were killing themselves. And "Ach" excludes Shaul HaMelech. And he brings two ways of reading that actual pasuk. Does that mean to say that Shaul was actually exonerated? He was allowed to commit suicide in this particular case. He was the exception to the rule, or no? He was actually different. Now Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah ultimately were allowed to because they were passively thrown into the fire, as opposed to Shaul, who is actively taking his own life. And these two ideas are actually make their way through the halachic history that brought in the Berak HaBayis, that's Rav Yosef Karo, his work which came before the Shulchan Aruch. But ultimately, we do notice that the Shulchan Aruch does paskin that even though a person, Rachmana Litzlan, who takes their own life intentionally in a sane state, it loses certain elements of mourning, of Shiva. Nonetheless, Sha'ol was excluded from this, meaning to say that the Shulchan Aruch takes the opinion that Sha'ol was in fact allowed to do this. Why? What are the factors that contribute to this? So there's a few factors which are brought. The Yamshal Shlomo suggests a few things, and these are things just to bear in mind when thinking about this particular episode. Number one is that he was concerned that they were going to torture him to force him to the point of accepting their Avodah Zarah, accepting their service. Number two, he was concerned that if he were to fight it out till the end, many Israelites would put themselves in harm's way and would have died protecting him rather than perhaps escaping, which is another concern for the safety of others. Moreover, he was also concerned about the Chilul Hashem, which had been created publicly, because we see already when they captured him, they decapitated him and they put him on the ramparts of the walls. Imagine if they caught him alive, they would have tortured him publicly to display what it means to go against the Philistines. And number four, he also had a nevuah from the previous day, from Shmuel Hanavi, that he and his children would die one day. He saw his children die. He was being shot at by the bowsmen. He knew this was coming. This is not a reason to commit suicide, Rachman and Hassan, but it's a contributing factor in the psyche of Sha'ol, which is what the Mepharshim suggest. One last factor, which is also suggested, is the Mari Kura, which is one of the preeminent Mepharshim Hapshat, from the era of the medieval commentators from the Rishonim, who says that, you know what, there was also an extra contributing factor, and that is that based on the Targum, the translation into Aramaic over here, it sounds like the snipers, these bowsmen, had actually already started shooting him. That means to say that he is already mortally, fatally wounded as this was happening. Now, a person who's on their deathbed is still not allowed to be murdered, but this is another contributing factor to Sha'ol's decision over here, which is why ultimately in Jewish history and in our tradition, we see that, and it is appreciated that Sha'ol did the right thing in this particular instance because he was a king, because of all these contributing factors towards this untimely end. One last thing just to think about, a point to ponder in this particular perek, and that is why is it that it was Yavesh Gilad who saved Sha'ol? I mean, did nobody else care? And the answer is this really pulls together all of Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel Aleph in terms of the stories. Because it was Yavesh Gilad who were those people who did not come to the war. They were the only people who refrained from that civil war against Binyamin, against Pelegish Begivah, at the end of Sefer Shoftim. They were the only people who decided they weren't going to be part of this, and they were persecuted because of that. And again, when Sha'ol HaMelech became king, who was the first people? Who was the first city under threat that Sha'ol had to fight for? It was Yavesh Gilad being threatened by Nachash, the king of Ammon. And there, in Perek Yud Aleph, that's when Sha'ol came to their aid and saved them. In fact, the Mepharshim point out, they were given 7 days to find a savior, to find a champion. Those are the 7 days of fasting that they fasted for Sha'ol HaMelech. Why? Because here we go down to the brotherhood. Yavesh Gilad is from the tribe of Manasseh. They're the Chatzi Shav of Manasseh on Transjordan, on the East Bank. Sha'ol is from the tribe of Binyamin. Binyamin and Yosef, Manasseh and Binyamin, once again coming together, this brotherhood which cannot be broken even beyond death. And it is at this point in time that we see the full circle over here of appreciation and the depth of relationship of brotherhood and how far it goes. With this, we now charge inwards and upwards as we enter Sefer Shmuel Beis. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.